stubborn and so restless from the start. I don't wanna fight you anymore. So take this rebel heart and make it yours. Father, I no longer wanna run. You've broken my resistance with your love and drowned it underneath the crimson spill. So bend this rebel heart into your will. I give it all over to you. I give it all over to you. Love is like an arrow, straight and true. And now this rebel heart belongs to you. Help me lay the renegade to rest. Turn the stone inside me back to flesh. Hold me while my best defenses fall. And watch this rebel heart surrender all. I give it all over to you. I give it all over to you. Your love is like an arrow, straight and true. And now this rebel heart belongs to you. Oh, take my life and let it be.
I invite you to open your Bibles with me today. Let's open to two places. Find Hebrews chapter 11. And in a few minutes, we're going to get there and look at one verse. But our primary scripture for today is going to be from Romans chapter 10. So Hebrews 11, stick a bookmark in there, and then find your way over to Romans chapter 10, and that's where we'll start. Romans chapter 10, I'm going to pick up in verse, let's see where we want to go. I got to get in the middle of one of Paul's sentences here. Let's just start. We'll start reading in verse 9. Let me just say to you, the previous verses are making a point to tell us that faith, I want you to hear this, faith has a voice. Faith has a voice. We're going to talk about that in just a little while as well. But I want to start there then in verse 9 of Romans chapter 10, where Paul writes and says that if you confess with your mouth, and here's faith's voice, okay? If you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with a heart a person believes, resulting in righteousness, and with a mouth he confesses, resulting in salvation. For the scripture says, whoever believes in him will not be disappointed. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord is Lord of all, abounding in riches for all who call upon him. For whoever will call on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then will they call upon him in whom they have not believed? How will they believe in him whom they have not heard? And how will they hear without a preacher? How will they preach unless they are sent, just as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news of good things. However, they did not all heed the good news, for Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? So then, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Let's pray together this morning. Lord, we bless you for this time together in the Word. We thank you for the Holy Spirit who both inspired the writings of these words and now will unveil the meanings of these things to our heart. I pray, Lord, that we can learn what it means to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, I pray that you would encourage each one of us today to learn how to live out our faith in our precious Lord as a light that shines brightly for the world to see. And I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So we've been talking for several weeks now about life-changing faith, how living the life that God has called us to will change us and give us victory as Christians. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 5 and verse 4, faith is the victory that overcomes the world. What do I mean when I talk about living out our faith, living by faith? The Bible says the just shall live by faith. Paul says we walk by faith and not by sight. What does all of that mean? Well, first of all, it means that we believe in the Creator and we live to please Him in every way, to do His will, not our own, but to do His will. Can I just say to you, and I was going to say it a little while later on, but can I just say to you, one of the biggest problems that we have as Christianity, one of the biggest struggles that we have in life is yielding our will to the will of God. And a lot of times we want one thing and God wants something else for us. And what God has for us is always better than what we want for ourselves. Think a rich young ruler in that situation, okay? But it's always better, and yet we know what we want, and we're determined to have it, and we wind up not even realizing it, but we wind up fighting God about it. And we'll even blame it on the devil. The devil's not letting me get this blessing or whatever, and that kind of thing. God is trying to bend our will so that He can do His purposes in our lives and give us the victory that He wants us to have. God has a great plan for your life. Do you realize that today? Saints of God, God is on your side. God is for you. He is not against you. There are good things that are waiting for us in Christ. If we will seek Him, He'll show us what they are. And if we will submit to Him, He will fulfill them in our life. And brother and sister, that right there is the true message of faith. I shared with you before that I come out of a movement back in the 80s that was called Word of Faith. And to be honest, there were a lot of good things that were taught there. There were a lot of bad things that were taught there too. And a lot of the message of the Word of Faith churches back in those days tended toward catering to selfishness of people. You name it, you claim it, God has to do it. It doesn't work that way. Doesn't work that way. God names it. If he does, then we can claim it. And then God will do it. But it has to do with our submitting ourselves and surrendering ourselves to the will of... That's real faith. Faith, brother and sister, is not telling God what you want him to do, then trying to work up the faith to get him to do it. Real faith, listen, real faith is listening to God tell you what he wants to do, then submitting to his will and allowing him to do it. That's real faith. That's the faith message. And God always has something better for your life than you can ever imagine. The irony of the Christian faith, hear this, the irony of the Christian faith is that real victory comes from surrender. It comes from surrender. When we surrender to the Lord, then he can give us the victory of the cross. And so we need to learn to walk in that heart of submission to the Lord. That's real life-changing faith. And what we've seen in several studies and several examples in the Bible so far as we've looked at it is that faith is the catalyst. Let me say it this way. Faith is the catalyst that releases and unleashes God's power into our lives. Now, we just read that right here, Romans chapter 10, regarding the whole issue of salvation. Remember how faith works, the process of faith, and remember how salvation works. It goes like this. God speaks. He reveals to us who Jesus is. We believe in who Jesus is. Because we believe, we confess Jesus is Lord. In other words, God speaks, we believe. We believe and therefore act. And when we act, God responds with grace. Okay? We believe and God responds with grace. But it all begins and it all ends with God. How many of you understand today that most of our lives, for most of our lives, we should really simply be just along for the ride. Just letting God take over, letting God do what he wants to do. We're just along for the ride to let God accomplish his purposes in and through our lives as his children. In the early days of the faith movement, it was all about trying to get God to do what we wanted him to do. And we tell God what to do and we try to drum up the faith to believe that he's going to do it. I'll show you, I'll prove it later on from this passage of scripture. You can't believe God for something that God never promised you in the first place. Okay? You got to have a word from God. You got to have a promise from God. Okay? So we looked at several examples, both Old Testament and New Testament, of this expression of faith that unleashes God's power, that brings grace into our lives, that changes our lives forever. We looked at the woman with the bleeding disorder in Mark chapter 5. And the scripture told us there that she went to every doctor in town and all they could do is throw up their hands. They had no idea what to do for this woman. And she had this issue for a number of years and just grew steadily worse in her situation. And then the Bible says she heard about Jesus. Watch this. She heard something. That's where faith begins. Faith comes by hearing. Hearing by the word. She heard something. Because she heard something, the next part of the story says, she said something. Let me tell you today, faith has a voice. Faith has a voice. And faith can be proven and faith is demonstrated and illustrated in our lives by both our words and by our actions. Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth will speak. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth will speak. If your heart is full of faith, then your words will reflect what's in your heart. And the words of your mouth will reflect that faith. If the words that are in your mouth, if all you're doing is, all you're ever saying is, oh Lord, I don't know if we're going to make it or not. It sure looks bad out there. Things are just awful. It looks like we're going under. Just hang on for another day. Maybe we can scratch through. Listen. And then we say something like, but I'm believing God. Actually, brother and sister, you're not believing God. You're just worrying and fretting and calling that faith. See, faith, listen, faith confesses in every circumstance, Jesus is Lord. In every circumstance, Jesus is Lord. For salvation, we confess Jesus is Lord. Faith confesses in the time of financial difficulty, Jesus is Lord. Faith confesses in the time of physical distress and illnesses, Jesus is Lord. You know what that confession is saying? Every time we speak that confession of faith, what we're saying is, God's got this. And not only does God have this, God has me. And everything is going to be all right. That's the word of faith. That's the voice of faith. And so faith is demonstrated by the words of our mouth. And this woman heard something. And the next thing that she did was she said something. The Bible says next that she said, if I can just touch the hem of his garment, I will get well. Hear the faith from her mouth that came out of her heart. If I touch the hem of the garment, I will get well. And then her faith is demonstrated by her actions. Now remember, this woman has had this bleeding disorder for some time. She can't be a very healthy, strong, you know, viral woman. She's bound to be weak and frail and all of these kinds of things. And she looks out and she sees Jesus. And the Bible says that she forces her way, she presses her way through that crowd of people to get to Jesus to touch the hem of his garment. Now listen to me. She could have looked out at that crowd and thought, oh dear God, I'll never get through those people. I might just as well go on home and die. But she didn't. Her faith drove her to actions. James says that faith without works is dead. James says that true faith will produce a corresponding action. James says, show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. Our works, our actions demonstrate our faith as well. And her faith was demonstrated in the fact that she was willing, in spite of her health, to push her way through that crowd in order to get to Jesus, in order to lay hold of the hem of his garment, seeking healing from Jesus. She goes, presses her way, lays hold of the hem of the garment, and the Bible said that power flowed from Jesus into that woman and made her completely well. She heard. She had faith. She spoke and acted in faith. God responded with grace. Faith unleashed the power of Jesus into her life that made her completely well and changed her life forever. Life-changing faith. We looked at the story of Bartimaeus, blind Bartimaeus in Mark chapter 10. And a very similar scenario there. Bartimaeus is sitting by the road on the way to Jericho. And he's got his coat that he lays on the ground there in the hopes that passers-by will throw some change or something into that coat so at least he can get some bread for the day. This is the way he makes his living, as a beggar, because he's a blind man. And the Bible says that he hears that Jesus is coming down the road. And he says something. He says something. And we know by what he said that he'd already heard more about Jesus than is revealed to us in that passage of scripture. Because when he hears that Jesus is coming, he says, Son of David, have mercy on me. Now the Jews know that the phrase Son of David is a reference to the Messiah, to the Savior, to the Messiah who would come. And Bartimaeus knew that one of the signs of Messiah was this. Isaiah 61, Luke chapter 4, Jesus actually quotes the scripture himself. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me to open the eyes of the blind. Bartimaeus is sitting on the side of the road, a blind man. He hears that Jesus is coming. He has heard about Jesus. He believes in who Jesus is. He calls him the Son of David. He believes he is the Messiah sent from God. He believes the Messiah is going to open the eyes of his blind. And so he calls out to him, seeking healing from Jesus. Jesus would eventually call Bartimaeus to him. And Bartimaeus has already revealed his faith in what he said, Son of David. Now he reveals his faith in what he does. He throws away that old garment, that old beggar's garment, that collector's garment. He tosses it aside. Why? Listen, this is before he's ever said a word to Jesus or Jesus to him. And he tosses that garment aside because he knows Messiah is going to open his blind eyes, and he is never going to have to beg again. His life is about to be changed. And he goes to Jesus, and Jesus says, what is it I can do for you? And Bartimaeus said, I want to receive my sight. And Jesus said, it'll be done to you as you have believed. As you have believed. Once again, we see that faith is the catalyst that unleashes the power of God into Bartimaeus' life, opens his blind eyes, and changes his life forever. Real faith, is life-changing faith. We've shared some personal examples with you of the things the Lord has done in our lives, and I'm not going to get into all of that again today. But last week, we'd like to share with you one last thing before we look at our passage for this morning. Last week, we looked at the story of David and Goliath from 1 Samuel chapter 17. And you all remember the story. Faith, living by faith means doing what God says to do, even if what God is saying doesn't make sense to you, or looks like it might even be foolish. If God says to do it, you do it. Because God said to do it. Simple as that. Okay? And we see that in the story of David and Goliath. David is the young teenage boy, maybe 16, 17 years of age, about like that. Goliath is a seasoned veteran, champion, warrior for the Philistines. And he stands in the valley fully clothed with all of his warrior armor, and with the armor bearer in front of him carrying additional armor to protect him from anybody who would come out against him. Now David could have looked at all of Israel looked out at Goliath and shook and trembled in fear and would not go out and fight the champion of the Philistines. David, on the other hand, looked out, and you know the story. But listen, David could have done this. David could have looked out. He could have looked out at Goliath, looked down in the valley, seen the giant standing there, and he could have said, I ain't going down there. He's bigger than I am. He's tougher than I am. He's more seasoned than I am. Never been beaten in his life. He's a champion. And I ain't going out there. I'm just going to... David was actually there. David wasn't even supposed to be there. David's not in the army. David's only a teenager. David was only there because his father had sent him with supplies for his brothers who were in the army. And David could have said, guys, I'm heading back home. I'm going to take care of Dad's sheep. Good luck with the giant. I'm going to go home, take care of Dad's sheep, and I'm going to just carve out a life for myself right there in Bethlehem, and everything is going to be cool. See? But he didn't do that. Instead, by faith, he goes out to face the giant. And again, doing something that looks foolish. Here's a giant, fully clothed in all of his armor, guarded by an armor bearer. And he goes out to fight this giant with 5 stones and a stick. And God. And he goes out and he declares his faith. He tells the giant what he's going to do to him. He tells him, this is the last day. It's a good day to die, and I'm going to help you with that in just a few minutes. And he goes to do battle with Goliath, and he takes him down with one rock, stands over him and takes the giant's own sword and cuts off his head. By faith, he defeated Goliath. By faith, he delivered Israel. By faith, he became the greatest king in the nation of Israel. He had life-changing faith. Instead of being at home taking care of Dad's sheep, now he's the king of the nation. And he leads the nation to prominence and the most powerful nation in David's day in that time. Life-changing faith. So in this passage of scripture that I want to read, that we read for you today, I want to go through here and look at some things with you. We told you at the beginning of this series, we're going to answer some questions such as, what is faith to begin with? What is faith? Who can have faith? How do you get faith? All of these kinds of things. And there's one other comment I want to address in the study this morning, and we'll be done. That comment is this. And I've heard this a number of times in my 40 plus years of ministry. Jesus said in Mark 11, verse 23, he says, when you pray, believe that you receive what you're praying for, and it will be given to you. You will receive what you're praying for. Jesus said, if you pray and believe, you will receive. Simple as that. Pray, believe, receive. And I've heard people, a number of times over the years, I've heard people say, well, Pastor, I prayed and I believed, but I didn't receive. I want you to think about that for just a minute. Jesus said, if you pray in faith believing, you will receive. People say, I prayed in faith and didn't receive. Do you see the contradiction here? One says you pray in faith, you will receive. The other say, I pray in faith and I didn't receive. Somebody's wrong. Now let me ask you a question. Two options. Either Jesus is wrong, or people who say, I prayed in faith and didn't believe, they're wrong somewhere. One or the other. Somebody's wrong somewhere. Given those two options, Jesus is wrong or people are wrong, which is more likely to be the truth? I'm convinced a lot of times we think we're in faith when we're really not. And I'm going to show you from the scriptures this morning how we can know we're actually in faith when we're praying for things from the Father. Okay? We need to know that. We need to know that. So let's look at these verses together and just a few quick minutes here and then we'll be done. Notice first of all in verse, I'm in, Romans chapter 10, I'm in 9 and 10. Notice in these two verses, notice first of all that faith is of the heart. Faith is of the heart. He says there in verse 9, if you believe in your heart. Believe in your heart. Faith is of the heart. Faith is not of the head. Faith is not just of the mind. Faith is of the heart. It's deeper than just, my point is this, it's more than just knowledge. There are a lot of people with a lot of knowledge about Jesus. In fact, there are a lot of atheists with a lot of knowledge about Jesus have no faith whatsoever. Admit that, you see. Faith is more than just knowledge. It's deeper than that. It's of the heart. It's of the soul. It's of the will. It's of the innermost being. It's the conviction on the inside of who you are. Okay? Faith is more than just knowledge. Faith is more than just positive thinking. There are religions all over the world all about positive thinking. And look, Christians should be the most positive people on the face of the earth as far as I'm concerned because of who we follow, because of who our Lord is. If we're Christian people, we ought to be a positive people, but Christianity is not just about positive thinking. Christianity is about heart believing. Believing in your heart. Believing in your innermost being. Believing, one preacher called it many years ago, he said, faith is knowing in your knower. You just know that you know that you know. I prayed for a friend of mine, a childhood friend of mine years ago. She was at the hospital with a son of hers and I went over to see how they were doing, went over to pray with her. And, I asked her if I could pray with her about her son. She said, yeah, I'd love that. And so I reached out, I took her hand to pray. And the moment that I touched her hand to pray, I knew that I knew that I knew her son was going to be all right. I just knew it. I just knew it on the inside. It's revelation by the Spirit of God. The only thing I know. And so I prayed for her and just I prayed a quick prayer for the healing of her son. And sure enough, it wasn't very long that he was well and he was back home. But faith is of the heart, not just the head. It's of the heart, okay? Let's move along here. In fact, I asked you to find Hebrews. Look at Hebrews chapter 11. And verse 1. The writer of the book of Hebrews says, "Now faith is the assurance or the substance of things hoped for, the conviction or evidence, the conviction of things not seen." Faith is being absolutely convicted and convinced that what you can't see with the naked eyes is nonetheless still true. We believe in God. We haven't seen Him with the naked eye, but we are convicted and convinced in our inner man. We are convinced that God is real and alive and well. That's faith. It's conviction on the inside. Not just knowledge of the head, but conviction of the heart. Okay? So go back over to Romans chapter 10. Let me get through this real quickly here. In fact, it's because we believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ, in verses 9 and 10 there, that we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord, believing in our heart that God has raised Him from the dead. By the way, I can't just overlook that very quickly. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is the cornerstone and the distinction between Christianity and every other religion in the world. The resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, by which He proved everything that He said was true and everything that was said about Him was true, and He is who He said He is. And so it's the most important doctrine in the Christian faith is the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at verses 11 through 13. It tells us who can have faith in these verses of Scripture. 11 through 13. He says, whoever, King James, whosoever believes in Him. Verse 13, whoever will call on the name of the Lord. Whosoever will call on the name of the Lord. Not anybody who chooses to do so can do so. For it tells us in verse 12, there is no distinction between Jew or Greek. The same Lord is Lord of all, abounding in riches for all who call upon Him. And so again, it tells us there in that passage of Scripture, whoever will call on the name of the Lord. God is not a respecter of persons. Doesn't matter whether you're Jew, Greek, old, young, male, female, European, Asian, American. Doesn't matter. Whoever will call on the name of the Lord. Anybody can have faith. Anybody can have faith. All right? But now look at verses 14 through 17. These verses tell us how it comes. In fact, look specifically at verse 14 with me. And watch this. How then will they call on Him in whom they have not believed? The next part says this. How will they believe in Him whom they have not heard? How will they believe in Him whom they have not heard? Look at what that verse says. Before you can believe something, you've got to hear something. Before you can believe in Jesus, you've got to hear about Jesus. Okay? Before you can believe something, you've got to hear something. Now, brother and sister, this is not just a truth where salvation is concerned. I believe it's a principle of how faith works in any circumstance. If it's faith for salvation, we have to believe, we have to have heard that Jesus is the Lord and Savior in order to believe that's who He is and to receive Him as such. But any other thing that we're going to believe God for, I believe the principle still stands. Before you can believe something, you've got to hear something. Before you can believe God for something, you've got to have a promise from God that He's going to give you the thing you're believing for. You don't get to just make it up out of thin air and then demand that God give it to you and work up faith that's going to require God to give it to you. That's not how faith works. God speaks, we believe, we act, God responds, you see. And this passage of Scripture tells us, before we can believe something, We've got to hear something. By the way, verse 15, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring the good news. These are those who were sent. These are those who were take the word to the world. I just want to share with you. I was going to tell you, the next time we have some missionaries come to the church, you need to look at them and say, God bless your beautiful feet. Because they're taking the gospel around the world. They are the people of beautiful feet. Instead of saying that, I'll say this to you. Mark McCord is going to be here on September the 8th, just a few weeks from this week. And Mark is our church planting missionary in Europe that we support and have for many years. So when Mark comes in, just tell Mark he's got beautiful feet. All right. See what he says to you. He takes the gospel around the world. He takes the gospel to Europe, to North Africa, to the Middle East, all of these places, plants churches. Primarily, he's planted churches in the European theater. But then once again, look at verse 17. He finishes the thought of verse 14 as I see it. Verse 14, how will they believe in him whom they have not heard? So then, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. In order to believe something, you've got to hear something. Let me tell you why I keep harping on that. Again, I've heard many times over the years, people say, well, I prayed in faith, but I didn't receive anything. I often respond this way when I hear that phrase. I prayed in faith and I didn't receive anything. I often respond, did God tell you he's going to give you what you're trying to believe him for? Did he tell you he was going to do that in your life? And most of the time, my question is responded to with a blank stare, as though, what does that have to do with anything? What does that have to do? Well, let me tell you what it has to do with anything. It has everything to do with anything. Because if you haven't heard, you can't believe. God's got to give you a promise for something before you can believe him for it. You don't get to tell God what to do. That's not how faith works. Faith is God telling you what he's going to do. Us submitting to him and allowing him to do what he wants to do in our lives. That's how faith works. That's how faith works. And that's how faith will change our lives. Praise God. I'm going to stop right there. I've got some prayer requests that I want to take to the Lord with you this morning. Before we do that, let's just pray over this message. Father, I pray that the message we've shared today has fallen on fertile ground. I trust, Father, that your word has gone forth. And whatever has been your word finds fertile soil and produces abundant fruit in the hearts and lives of your people. And I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.